Looking once again to the Lord to be our helper this afternoon, we call your attention to a word you will find in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. And the last clause of verse 11, the ninth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and the last part of the 11th verse, just three words: behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. These words relate, of course, as is well known by all in the house of God this afternoon, to the Apostle Paul. And it came to pass that under conviction of sin, the Apostle is brought to call upon the name of the Lord. And in these words, behold, he prayeth, we see a miracle of grace. A miracle of grace. I want first to speak just a few words on the first part, behold, and then behold he, and then behold he prayeth, and then I want to speak a little of prayer and the way of prayer as the Lord will enable me. This word, behold, it is a gospel word which is often used by the Holy Spirit in his word. It's a word which says, draws our attention to something that is most blessed and worthy of our reflection. Wherever this word is recorded in the Bible, that which follows is something which is most wonderful. And as the Lord, the Spirit, opens up that which follows, there we shall behold that which will do our souls good. And more so if we behold something which we have been made to experience, that we have handled, tasted and felt, so that it is made even a confirmation to us that we are indeed in the way. Oh, this word, behold, behold. The word is used many times with respect to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. And there it calls our attention in the prophecy of Isaiah to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant of God. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall decree justice, and a man shall be a hiding place. Hasn't that been a time of sweet reflection to you, maybe, as you've considered that which the Holy Spirit has called your attention to? Behold, sinner, look here, and a man shall be an hiding place. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is pointed out to the disciples of John. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And here, before us, something that is most wonderful to consider. And so the Holy Spirit says to us this afternoon, behold. And what are we to behold? Well, that which follows in two words, behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. Who is this he that is referred to in the text? Our attention is drawn to consider who this is, who is described by this little word, he. Well, it is Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. And he is a type of every child of God. Oh, he is a type of every child of God. He is indeed, first and foremost, a sinner. He's a sinner. He was a sinner in his own estimation. Indeed, he was in his own estimation the chief of sinners. You know, he could never forget that he was a sinner. Time and time again we find in the writings of the Apostle Paul that confession of the Apostle that he was a sinner. He never forgot what he was. And he said in writing to the church at Corinth, he says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. By the grace of God I am what I am. Nothing in myself. I'm by nature a sinner. Oh, hear him as he speaks in the Acts of the Apostles in the 26th chapter. There we have the Apostle Paul as he is before Agrippa. I verily, says he, thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Yea, he was indeed a blasphemer. He was a blasphemer. He confesses it, does he not, in writing to his dear son in the faith, Timothy. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now this was this one to whom our attention is drawn. This he, behold, he, the sinner, a sinner, a deep dyed sinner, was the Apostle Paul. And can it not be said, and such were some of you, and such were some of you. You know, it's the worst of sinners, the very, very worst of sinners that we find in this text. The very, very worst of men and women have been brought here. Behold, he, Saul of Tarsus. How remarkable. He prayeth. He prayeth. Well, this wasn't his nature, was it? Not for one moment was this the nature of Saul of Tarsus to pray. It was indeed a miracle of grace that he was brought to this place. Behold, he prayeth, Saul of Tarsus, the sinner. See him here upon his knees praying to his God. wasn't long before that he was on his way to Damascus, bent upon the destruction of the church of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou?" He doesn't say "my people," he says "me, me, me." But what an almighty power was put forth to bring this sinner to his knees. What an almighty power. How powerful is the grace of God? How powerful is his word? Oh, this powerful two-edged sword of the Spirit brings this sinner to his knees. Behold, he prayeth, he prayeth. Do you know what it is to pray? Do you know what it is to be found in this place where the apostle was found? At this juncture, of course, he wasn't the apostle, but I refer to him as such. He was found here in that place where every, and I say that, every child of God shall be brought in their measure. Everyone will be brought here to cry unto the Lord. You know, the apostle had prayed before. I've no doubt many times that the apostle had uttered the words of the Pharisee. Many times that he uttered words before the Lord, and in his self-righteous pride had uttered words and called it prayer. But you know, he'd never had this experience. He had never been brought to feel his great need. Here was the prayer of one who was destitute. Here was the groaning of a prisoner. Here was real, real prayer. Real prayer uttered. Wonder how many times we really pray. We really pray. And how many times our prayers are just formal utterances of words before God. I often think of that verse which we, I suppose most of us, sang in the Sabbath school or new. I often say my prayers, but do I ever pray? And do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? It's a sweet verse, you know. There's deep teaching in that. How often do we pray? He prayed, you know. We know he prayed. The Lord said unto Ananias, "Go, arise." It's the Lord that said it. The words of the Lord, he knew. You know, he knows whether we pray or not, whether we are in earnest. You know, we may sound very sweet to somebody in the prayer meeting, maybe. Us that have to pray in public, we may utter many scriptures, and we may even have upon our lips the shibboleth of Zion, but you know, the Lord he looks into the heart. He knoweth the hearts of men, and he knew the heart of the apostle at this juncture. Oh, he says, "Ananias," he says, "go, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul." You know, he knew his name, he knew exactly where he was, and he knew his exercise. He says, "Behold, he prayeth, he prayeth." He's saying to Ananias, I know he was a persecutor. Ah, but you'll find a different character there. Oh, when you find this one, you'll find a different character before you. Behold, he prayeth. And this was the mark that he gave to Ananias. This was the sign to prove that here was one of his children. Behold, he prayeth, he prayeth. He never prayed like that before. Do you know, can you remember the time when you first prayed? Do you remember that time when you first had to fall upon your knees and you were found in the place where the publican was? God be merciful to me, a sinner. Could not much as lift up his eyes to heaven. All there in destitution. All feeling is great need. A feeling to be the very worst of sinners. Feeling that cannot be mercy for me. Oh, there cannot be mercy for me, but must cry. Must cry to the Lord. Oh, behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. Blessed place. Oh, that we saw more of it in the day in which we live. You know, we read, do we not, in the biographies of some of those that went before, how they had those places in the fields, under the edges, you know, where they fell upon their knees and cried unto the Lord. Oh yes, cried unto the Lord. Behold, he prayeth, he prayeth. Blessed prayer it must have been, you know. It's not on record. The Holy Spirit has not seen fit to leave it on record for us, but it must have been a sweet prayer. It was indicted prayer, you know. It was answered prayer. Oh, it was what a blessed hymn is that. I thought of it in a meditation. The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to a throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, this is real language, not just words, real language. My mind goes just briefly to that which was spoken by the prophet Zephaniah, speaking of bringing again his people, bringing them out of darkness and out of captivity. He says, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants. Suppliants, not the language, my suppliants. Even the daughter of my dispersed shall bring my offering. A pure language. You know, real prayer is the language of the Holy Spirit. The apostle, he says, for we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, those, the Holy Spirit, he makes that intercession for us and in us too. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, under his inditing to fall down upon our knees before God in the solemn attitude of prayer. This is real prayer. It's a pure language. You know, it's free from deceit. It's free from deceit. It's free from lies. It is indeed a pure language. It's very sweet, you know, real prayer. Very sweet is real prayer. When our hearts are poured out before God, so different to formal prayer. We read in Psalm 107 of those places where the Lord's people are brought. You know, various instances the psalmist cites in that sweet psalm. But they're all brought to that one place. They're brought to that place where there is no help in themselves. There's no help in man, not their best friend. There's no help in anything they may possess. They are destitute and devoid of any help but in God. Then, not until then, he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down. Do you know what that is? They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Do you know what it is? I asked that question. Do you know this afternoon? Do you know what it is? Have you been in that place? Can you say yes? The psalmist, he knew what he was talking about. I've been there. That's been my blessed experience. Behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. Nature never taught him, you know. It was the Holy Spirit. And if you've ever prayed, it's the Holy Spirit, you know, who's brought you to that place. What a blessed thing it is that the Lord has brought you there. Behold, he prayeth. The way of prayer is a most blessed privilege. When we consider the mercy seat, then we see the great cost of this blessed privilege, which it was to the Apostle Paul. It was a blessed privilege to him. You know, he may not, as he fell down upon his knees at this time, he probably never really realized what a wonderful privilege was prayer. But I believe that as he went on in the way, as he grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, more and more he came to realize what a blessed privilege it was. And why? Well, because of its cost. The great cost, you know. The way of prayer is a way marked out by blood. It was a way purchased by the sacrifice of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ upon the cross at Calvary. It is the purchase of the sufferings of the Lord. And the mercy seat, you know, was a blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Those cherubims with their wings outstretched, we read that they looked toward the mercy seat. Oh, no wonder they looked there. The angels desire to look into these things, you know. They desire to look into these things. Has the Lord shown you the blessedness of this way? A blood-sprinkled mercy seat. You know, if there's no blood, there's no access. This precious blood of Jesus, it is the way of access, an all-prevailing plea to God. It's an all-prevailing plea. Breaks down, you know, everything that would hinder. You know, before the precious blood of Jesus, those doors, they fly open wide. Those bars of brass are cut asunder. Oh yes, and sweet access is found. Blessed privilege is the way of prayer. It is indeed the way of the saints. It's the way of the saints. The way of prayer is a most blessed way. It is the way in which the Lord's children through all the ages of time have walked. They've walked this way. The way to heaven, the narrow way, is a way of prayer. And it is from time to time the prayer of necessity. It's the prayer of necessity. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Why, it's the church of Jesus Christ. And a praying soul is a, A living soul and a prayerless soul is a dead soul. Dead soul. Prayer is the very breath of the saints. It's the breath of the saints. The way of prayer. Way of prayer. What a blessed way it is. It's the way whereby we find access through a precious Christ, through the appointed means, to God. It is a most solemn ordinance. It is an exercise which cannot be entered upon rightly in lightness. It's a most solemn place, the throne of grace. You know, if we were going into some ordinance with the Queen of this land, we should be very, very careful. I'm sure that if we had to go into Buckingham Palace and go before the Queen, that probably we should be found in a certain awe, a certain trembling, a certain nervousness within. And how much more as we would come into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, through the precious way, the rent veil of the flesh of Jesus, that way of access made known. What a solemn exercise it is, a blessed exercise, a solemn exercise, where our language would be ordered in reverence and a desire to come in holiness. Blessed way of prayer. It's the way of faith. James, he says that unless we come with faith, they that come unto him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of all them that diligently seek him. We must come with precious faith. It is his gift. You know, we come to a throne of grace with nothing. Nothing of our own, if we come rightly. Yeah, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply, to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to thee fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Now there's the way of prayer. But you know, it is a blessed way. You know, this way of prayer is the way whereby the Lord's people walk in that blessed narrow way. The Lord, by his Spirit and his word, he says, acknowledge him in all thy ways. Now, this is how we acknowledge the Lord. Day by day. You know, if we're real Christians, real followers of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, believers in him, we shall want to walk this way. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And so, in things of providence, in all our providential way, we shall be found at a throne of grace. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. You know, where there's an exhortation, there's always a promise. You'll find that they're always joined together inseparably in the word of God. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. I will deliver thee. You'll find this time and time again throughout the word of God, the exhortation, and then the
promise that goes with it. And you know, it can never fail.
Can never fail. Or to acknowledge him. You know, not be, to be able to make a move. Whether it be in our associations, in the place where we dwell, in the place where we worship, all those things which pertain to our life here below, to commit our way unto him. Now, this is the way of prayer, the way of prayer. Blessed privilege is this way. And then there is that whereby we seek the Lord for those spiritual blessings. I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. You know, we're not to presume, we're not to be presumptuous and to say, yes, the Lord will provide all things. No need to pray. You know, you're out of the way. You're out of the way, if that's the way it is. Therefore, shall ye draw water from the wells of salvation? I miss that word with joy. I didn't quote it quite right, but you know, the prayer is the bucket. Prayer is the bucket whereby we, with joy, draw water from salvation's wells. It's prayer. You know, it's praying souls who are blessed. It's praying souls who are blessed under the sound of the ministry. If you come into the chapel, you know, like a door upon its hinges, and you don't pray for the Lord's servant and pray that he might be led into your case. If you're not exercised in prayer before the Lord, how can you expect to receive a blessing? Oh, the way of prayer. Blessed privilege. Blessed privilege. Oh, what a miracle of grace if you're a praying soul. You know, I preach this for the encouragement of the Lord's people this afternoon, and also as a word of warning for they who know not the way of prayer. But maybe I will, under the Spirit's influence, quicken you into life. Or make you to say, yes, I desire to walk in that way. You know, or to draw forth to obtain grace. Come boldly unto a throne of grace, says the apostle, or that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in our every time of need. Blessed throne of grace. You know, he that fills a mercy seat, he understands the sigh divine and marks the secret groan. He can come into your case. Oh, he can come into your case. Men may not understand the way you go, but the Lord understands. Tempted in all points, such as we are, yet without sin. He walked this way, and being made perfect, wasn't he always perfect? Oh, yes, he was. He ever was perfect, but you know, when the Lord Jesus walked here below, it was a new experience. It was a new experience, you know, to walk in the as a man upon the earth, to undergo those deprivations, to undergo those temptations, those great trials, that reproach, those forsakings, that suffering. You know, it was thereby the being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto his children. You know, he understands his children. Men may not understand, but throne of grace, pour out your heart before him. Providential things, spiritual things, bring them there. But come by Christ, you know. We must come by that living way. The only way of access is the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He is the mediator, that one that stands between. Oh yes, by him. You know, the blind man we read of in our reading, that's how he came. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, in that language, he owned the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That one who was for to come. You know, it was beautiful language, you know, and that was real prayer. It wasn't a long prayer, it was a very, very short prayer. But you know, the Lord stood still. He stood still. Do you think your prayer has ever caused that to happen? And the Lord, he stood still and he called him. And he asked that question, what wilt thou that I do unto thee? You know, if the Lord said that, what would your answer be? You know, the blind man, he knew what he wanted. Lord, that I may receive my sight. You know, and he got an immediate answer. His sight was restored. But finally, I want to speak a little word of warning. We need it. You know, I need it. Because I know what it is to be prayerless. I know what it is to be cold. I know what it is to walk in darkness because of my sin and my neglect in this matter. You know, the Lord, he had to speak to ancient Israel through the prophet Isaiah, and he brought forth this in the 43rd chapter, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. What a charge is that? What a charge. But you know, he's not speaking to the world. He's not speaking to the world here, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. You know, they were the two names, weren't they? Jacob, that was his natural name. And God condescends to be known as the God of Jacob. But Israel, what was that name, you know, which the Lord gave him? He prevailed with God. How? In prayer. In prayer. He wrestled with God and he obtained the blessing. He says, what is thy name? And he blessed him there. He blessed him there. Jacob knew what he wanted, you know, and he obtained the blessing. And his name became Israel. But, oh, what a charge is this. But thou, of all people, thou for whom the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, thou for whom he purchased this blessed way of prayer. Of all people, but thou wast not called upon me. O Jacob, but thou hast been further still weary of me. Weary of me. Weary of calling upon my name. Do you know that? Do you know that place? I do. I know that place. Many times. Rather do anything but pray. Coldness in our hearts. You know, all the things of the world which lure us away. Take up our time, us in the ministry. I don't know if my brethren ever walk in this place sometimes, but not what we should be sometimes. We spend time doing this and doing that when we look back and we review it and we say, yes, it's been wasted time. Oh, ought to have been at a mercy seat. Ought to have been calling upon the name of the Lord. Ought to be praying for the little flock over whom he has set us. Oh, we ought to be in the way of our duty, but no. Thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. It is so true. There are times, you know, when the Lord's people, they seem to forget. Forget the cost. Forget the Lord Jesus Christ, their Saviour. Forget the way of prayer. But you know, they suffer for it. Oh, they suffer for it. The Lord doesn't cut them off, but you know, the Lord visits with his rod. He hides his face. Are you walking in darkness, a child of God? Have you not had a visit of his face of recent days? Have you not heard his voice for a long season? Does he bring you to where David came? Oh, be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be as them that go down to the pit. Oh, it's a deep place, but you know David was a child of God, but he was a sinner. He was a sinner. And he knew what it was to have the Lord hide his face. But can you go? Can you go week after week without hearing the voice of the Lord? Can you come in and out of the Lord's house service by service and never have a blessing? And are you prayerless and careless? It doesn't mean to say you're not a child of God. Oh no. The Lord's people, you know, get here. Oh, they get in this place. And oh, there is a place we find in the prophecy of Isaiah, if I can find it. Yes, in chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay himself upon his God. And how do we stay ourselves upon God and trust in him? Well, we commit our way to him. It's the way of prayer, the way of prayer. But you know what neglect? I believe there's a great neglect in the day in which we live. I think there's a worldliness, you know, entered in to the church. Is that why there's so many empty seats? When Zion travailed, then she brought forth children. You know, it was when she travailed. There was much travail, I believe, years gone by in the time of prosperity in the churches. I was only reading, you know, the other day of dear John Warburton of Trowbridge, and I believe that during his ministry he baptized 488 persons. How remarkable. Is it not a day of small things? Is it prayer that's lacking? Blessed privilege, but you know, if we despise it, if we turn our back upon it, then the Lord will visit us, and you know, he'll send a famine. You'll send a famine. Solemn thing is this. It's a miracle, you know, that we pray. It's a miracle that we pray. The apostle, he says, who holdeth our soul in life? Who holdeth our soul in life? You know, there's a lot in that, because In that blessed psalm, wherein that is recorded, we find that the Lord, by the Spirit, he goes on to tell us how he holds our soul in life, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. And this is how the Lord chastised these prayerless people, you know. You know, a praying soul, one who walks close to the Lord, one who is careful and prayerful in the way, you know, I believe that they do not really know the deep sorrows that prayerless ones know. For the Lord, you know, as an eagle stirs up his nest, you know, if we're prayerless and if we neglect prayer, God, you know, his work shall go on. You know, those that purchase of his precious blood, they shall be saved. If he has to take them through fire and through water, he'll ever bring them there to a throne of grace, to call upon his name. And you know, I believe that the Lord's people, they suffer much and they grieve much because of their lack of prayer. Oh, that the Lord might teach us. And oh, by his grace, that it might be said of us, day by day, in the words of our text, behold, he prayeth. Amen.